It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So now empty set shotgun on second and 10. This is a shot position here from the 48. He's looking downfield, nothing there. Spins away, throws on the move. It is caught! Roma Dunze connects with his fellow rookie.
More of that, please. But they said, don't have to be that special all the time. I'm cool with that. If he wants to be special all the time, I'm not going to tell him not to. That's right. If he says, be yourself, be authentic. If that's authentic, you want to do that more often, feel free. Dominique Foxworth is on Twitter at Foxworth24, the host of the Dominique Foxworth Show, available on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. Joins us now on the Circus Sports Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today and twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hi, Dominique. What's going on?
What's up, guys? I appreciate the rejoin music. That's how I know I'm old. It's like all the music that when you're listening to the radio, when you're watching TV, all the music is geared right towards my age group. I remember when I was young, I didn't recognize the songs that they played. Now they're right up my alley, so I'm old.
Well, I was going to save this for the end, but have you heard at least the portions of the new LL album that are out right now?
I have not. I have not been listening to new old music.
If I
listen to old people rap, I listen to them rap when they were young. I'm not listening to old people. Is LL's album good?
So there's only 4 tracks that have been released, but there's a track that he has with Eminem.
That is
dope. And the whole album is produced by Q-Tip.
Oh God.
I know that.
So you can hear all 3 of them in the production of it. And it's basically, what if LL tried Eminem's style and it actually works?
I'm going to give it a shot. As long as none of them pick up the flute like my man Andre did.
No. I don't think any of them are going to be picking up the flute. But now I can actually greet you to the show. Off top, elephants can't jump. Now, Dominique, I wanted to ask you about, because I listen to Dominique's podcast. I love this podcast.
I appreciate that. You know how I like useless facts. That's outstanding.
That's right. So they don't have to because they're elephants. But I wanted to ask you about what you've seen from Caleb Williams and what are the things that defensive teams, what are the coordinators, what are they going to try to do to him early on?
Well, I think what you normally want to do to young quarterbacks is make them confused and uncomfortable. And that's one of the things about Caleb Williams that's been really encouraging. And of course, it's only preseason, but he looks comfortable at almost all times. There's going to come some series in this season where he's not going to look comfortable, and some games where he is going to be confused. And that's what I'd be trying to do, confuse him with the safety looks. And most importantly, get pressure on him. And sadly, the offensive line for the Bears is much better than it was when you were trying to build around Justin Fields. But if there's one weak point on this offense, I would say it's the offensive line. So getting pressure on him will make him uncomfortable and show him confusing looks, things that defenses in college weren't able to do.
We were discussing that early in the show, Dominique, the idea of traditionally with a rookie quarterback, you'd say, hey, we're A-gap pressure. We're going to give the shortest line to making you uncomfortable and miserable. But then he gets out on the edges, and you can be in a little more danger where not even he knows where he's going with the ball. But a pro defense is not a college defense, and I'm concerned that a well-coordinated defense can bait him into throwing the ball to a spot where they want him to throw it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you made one of the points there that sounds a little funny when you say it, but I think the point of improv, by definition, no one really knows what's going to happen. So the coordinators on defense can try to flush him and think that it's always going to work out in their favor, but there are going to be times with a player like Caleb that it's going to crush those defenses. I'm not sure that's what I would want to do against Caleb Williams. I think going into the draft, that was one of the things that people said he needed to work on, was being comfortable within structure. I might try to ask him to be in the to stay in the pocket. I don't want to flush him out of the pocket, because honestly, the defensive coverages, they break down. No matter what coverage you're in, it has to turn to man when you turn into a scramble drill. And there are going to be mistakes. I think it's more often that you'll have mistakes on defense than you will have on offense if you flush a quarterback like Caleb out of the pocket. And I also found that in the preseason, he was more athletic than I thought he was going to be. Like, I suspected that he was running around in college in part because he was playing against mostly non-NFL talent. But again, it's the preseason, so take it with a grain of salt. But he seemed comfortable moving back then. It didn't seem like, I think back to guys like Baker Mayfield is a guy that comes to mind, where he got to the NFL and was like, oh, you were college fast. You're not NFL fast. It seems like Caleb might also be NFL fast.
Yeah, it does seem, and it seems a little bit more comfortable too. And what I liked about it is watching him make some of those throws, you would see him continuously try and square his shoulders to the line of scrimmage. He's clearly running to open up windows to throw, which is one of the things I love about like vintage Russ, is that that's what he would do. So I love that that's already kind of part of his game, but the NFL has a way of humbling young quarterbacks that I think that when we look at CJ Stroud and what happened with him last year, that there's already a lot of pressure for Caleb Williams to be that. And I think that's an outlier and dangerous comparison.
I think it's definitely a dangerous comparison, but I think he might be better, honestly. I think CJ Stroud had and I'm sorry, maybe I don't want to get the hopes up too high, but I think what we have with him and with most rookie quarterbacks, you want to find a way to take pressure off of them. You want to have a solid run game, have receivers like DJ Moore. It's a receiver that you don't have to hit him deep. You can hit DJ Moore short and he can take it deep. There are situations where you want to take pressure off of rookie quarterbacks. And as long as you can do that, I think, and as long as Caleb is accepting and that not every play is, he can't win every single play in the NFL, I think his big plays, no one has any question about him having wild plays. They're going to be there. The questions, I think, are, can he consistently be average where you ask him to be and not give up the wow in the other direction plays? So I have no concern about Caleb having highlights. The question is, between the highlights, can he keep it together and not try to make a highlight every time out on the field? I think he's going to be a really special player, especially in that situation that Ryan Poles put together for him.
I want to see how quickly he grows beyond their control. I want to see, it's great to have, this is our system, this is where we go. And it's possible that Caleb, more quickly than we expect, starts to see more than the coaches even know that he sees. Does that make any sense to you?
No, like, it makes like
that's, if he's great, things look slower to him than they do to other people.
So the best way I can explain what you're saying is that when there are adjustments in the game and there's smart players, smart coordinators, the other side, when the Bears are doing something that works, the other team, the defense is going to adjust. Do you need to come back to the sideline and lose the series or lose a few series or go to halftime before we can make those adjustments? Good quarterbacks and great quarterbacks, honestly, can make those adjustments in game with a couple of checks to receivers, with a couple of improv moves, moving people around. And that's a lot to ask for a rookie quarterback. But that's the stuff that you're talking about, mm-hmm. is them being able to go above and beyond, whether it's with their athleticism, whether it's with their vision or improv, or whether it's with them recognizing in the course of a series that this is what this team is trying to do with me. He can figure it out and make adjustments then before coming to the sideline or waiting till you get in halftime to adjust those things. Those are the type of things that advanced level, high level quarterback can do. That'd be absurd if Caleb's doing that in his first year, but I do think he's on. He can do it with the athleticism and the improv, but if he's doing it with his brain in the first season, that's going to be outstanding and pretty scary for the rest of the league.
Well, yeah, and thank you for sort of crystallizing that thought, because my belief too is that with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, maybe not yet Rome Odunze, maybe it could be something he grows into, but we already have seen that they have a connection where if they're good at sharing information in real time, where, like you say, you don't have to trudge back to the sideline and have the quarterback's coach hand you a tablet and start pointing at things, where Keenan Allen might just be able to give you a nod and be like, all right, you know, like my split, let me just widen that a little bit. You got me. I got you.
Right. I'm watching the Ravens and Chiefs games in preparation for that. And it's just a reminder that that's the Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes connection. In that game, people ask me, like, what routes is Travis Kelce running? I don't know. He doesn't know either. Neither does Patrick. It's a feel. They are made up routes. So many times they get into tough situations and I'm like, what's that? Try to draw that route up and it doesn't make sense. But it's that they recognize things quickly. I think about one of the advantages of the, and this is a odd analogy to go to, but it'll make sense in a second. I think about the Warriors and when they were at their peak, while everyone was moving around making super teams and the super teams worked, there was something about that continuity that allowed them to say in big time moments, oh, they're doing the thing that that team did to us 3 years ago. We don't have to talk about it. We don't have to draw it up. We don't even need to call a timeout. We could adjust in that way. That comes with experience and that comes with working together and that comes with intelligence. And I think they have the intelligence. They have the experience at receiver, but they don't have the experience together. And Caleb doesn't have it in the league yet. But that's what you're building towards. You get to a point where you know your guy, whether he's doubled or whatever, you know it's third and six. I know that he's going to find a spot and I'm going to find him.
It's so funny that you mentioned the Warriors. I was in a conversation, Dominique, over the weekend, and it had to do with Steph Curry. And when people are talking about comparing Caleb Williams already to Patrick Mahomes, and they say, well, who coming out has gotten that kind of comparison to somebody who was that like a unicorn? And right. The first name that popped into my head was Trae Young. Mm-hmm. When like, here, okay, here's, how would you describe Trae Young's game?
El DeBart.
But it's like, you know, it's like Steph Curry. And it's like, no, there's only one Steph Curry. And if Caleb Williams is Trae Young to Patrick Mahomes as Steph Curry, that's not worth the top overall pick. You know, he's got to be better than that.
Yeah, I hope not. And they have, honestly, let's keep it real. A lot of these comparisons about what people look like. And I think a lot of that, because Trae Young was never like a great, great shooter. He was more of a passer than anything else. Like a great passer, if you're going to say anything was great about him, he would take those shots, but he wasn't a high percentage deep shot shooter like Steph Curry was. So those comparisons were like unfounded. And I think they're having some similar things with Caleb and Patrick Mahomes. But let's be honest, everyone gets compared to Patrick Mahomes now. If you throw a little sidearm, something, if you wear those shades and you get that Patrick Mahomes haircut, people compare you to Patrick Mahomes. There's only one of them. I think that Caleb has done some impressive things, but what you can't deny is those throws that Caleb makes, and he seems like he makes them routinely, deep on the run, accurate throws that he's able to make, even in the NFL preseason. Those things just, you don't see those every weekend in the NFL. If you can get those every couple of weeks, along with some consistent play and the defense to take pressure off him, he's going to be great. We'll save the Patrick Mahomes comparisons for when the Bears meet the Chiefs in the Super Bowl in the near future.
It does feel like when I listen to him talk about his upbringing, I feel like I'm hearing someone take the same route, but not in the same degree as like a Todd Marinovich or a Tiger Woods, where it was like they knew pretty early that this is what he wanted to do and they poured into him, but it doesn't seem like they pushed him over the edge. It seems like he's very balanced and gets all of the things that are in front of him.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of those things, when we we're all guilty of it, is when we retell stories, we kind of boil them down to like a couple key points, like it's a movie. And I'm sure there's so many other factors that go into what a person becomes, other than like what we're saying is like how involved someone was with projecting. And in Tiger's case, it's like his dad decided this is what was going to happen. The same thing with, it sounds like Marinovich, the story that's told about Caleb is Caleb decided he wanted to, and then his dad started to like lean in on him and he's able to handle it. But I don't know what else has gone into it, but I think you're right. The result right now seems like a guy who is fully prepared for the situation, who's more prepared than most quarterbacks coming in. So right now it looks great. And I think that you can trust that he's been in a bunch of different places already, which is unusual. He's had a lot of pressure already, which is unusual. And he's kind of answered it at every stop, all the way back to his very first kind of playing time in college. It was an unusual situation. He went in and answered it, moved to another school, go in and do that, get to the NFL. The team loves him and he's balling in the preseason. It all feels like it's falling into place in the right way.
So, Dominique, have you bullied Charlie out of his monies yet? Because here's why I ask. Because I had to bully my partner into wearing shoes that actually like support his feet. I got Dan in some Hokas so that he could walk around. You and Marcus Spears like got on Charlie real bad with the Monarchs.
Yeah, my man Charlie. Yeah, he just and the funny thing about Charlie is, for all of us, there is, or at least I can speak for myself, I hit around 12, 13 years old, and I was like, oh, they like the people who dress nice. Let me get some clothes. And there was a motivating factor that at a certain point, I was like, I like looking nice. Charlie, on the other hand, he seems to not care. He just doesn't care. He's got a fiance. And I asked Charlie one time, I was in New York with him and I was going to buy some stuff. It's like, do you think your fiance would appreciate if you came back with some nice clothes? He's like, yeah, she would love it. Let's go shopping. No. What are you doing? I mean, don't you want to show up, have somebody excited to see you every now and then? So we're going to work on it. We got to start at the bottom though. We got to start with some shoes, get him some respectable shoes, stop walking around in them dog walkers. Then we work our way up. Some jeans and
I'm with Charlie. I'm
Dan, we know you're wearing Charlie. A Beefaroo shirt right now.
Damn
like,
right.
Yeah, we know that you're definitely with them.
If she wants me to wear something, buy it for me. I'll wear it. I'll wear it if she's
so like, let's imagine you just show, because if you bought it for her, that like takes some of the surprise and excitement. Just imagine you showed up tonight in a fly-ass suit. Let's go to dinner.
She probably look at it and say, did you really buy that? Did you ask anybody before you bought that?
Maybe that's how it starts. But I promise you it ends good.
Yeah, see? The
term me in fly-ass suit has never been strung together.
Ever. The birthday treatment. It's not even your birthday. I'm trying to get you the birthday treatment. It's not your birthday.
Dominique, we try to help him and he doesn't listen. And then he listens, but that's
okay.
It's a whole thing here on the show. One more thing before we let you go. I've done a television show for the last 7 years with Alex Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were talking about your bull experience against Alex Brown, it made me laugh, and then I sent the pod to Alex to let him listen to you talk about it. For those of you that don't know about your football experience in that bowl game, how bad a man was Alex Brown?
He was so bad that I was a freshman cornerback, and I was nervous. We would never share the field at the same time. And I was like, whoa, they supposed to block him? We are in trouble. So I went to Maryland, and we had like a surprising 10-1 season, shocked everybody. And I think Florida was a national championship contending team and had a late season loss. So they were mad. They should have been in the championship. This is before the playoffs. Us old guys remember those olden days. And they fell down to us in the Orange Bowl, which was a top level bowl, and they gave us the blues. They showed us what SEC football was all about. We took it out on Tennessee the next year, though. We beat the dog out of Tennessee like 31-3, but we was not ready for that Florida team. It was like 10 pros, 12 pros on that team. Bunch of first round picks, and Alex Brown was the scariest of them all.
And I think Rex Grossman was like suspended maybe for like the first
For the first quarter. He was out for the first quarter. It didn't matter, but once he came in there,
Well, so I got some of the backstory, Dominique. I guess Alex he was supposed to be suspended for the first half. And Alex went to the coach and was like, all right, that's enough. Like, that's enough. Let's get our guy up in there.
Okay, so I feel better about me being scared of Alex if Steve Spurrier was also scared of Alex. So it's clear who was running the show down there.
Well, from my experience around Steve Spurrier when he was at Duke, it's not that he's scared. It's just that he didn't really care. He just, like, you're suspended for all right, fine. I'm going golfing. That's all he was thinking about was when the game was over so we could golf.
I'm in Washington right now, and they know that Steve Spurrier, when he came here, it didn't seem like he cared as much as the people wanted him to.
Really nice guy.
Good golfer, sure. Too.
Yeah, right?
Spent a lot of time doing it. Dominique, as always, man, we appreciate you. Thanks for being on the show. Continued success with the podcast. It's really amazing. I look forward to it every week.
I appreciate it. We're going to get our co-host right, man. We're going to get him right.
Get Charlie out of them monies.
I'm with Charlie.
All right, fellas.
Dominique Foxworth, our guest, and what a great video feed. What a terrific setup.
Well, he's got all there. The handsome too.
I
so
know.
Like
that,
you're
that all looks good.
We so, could have there's so much stuff that we could talk to him about. Like, cause you know, when he's done with football, he went to Harvard. You know,
NBA at Harvard, yeah.
And wasn't he in charge of the NBA PA for a while?
Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff there.
Ian Happ joins us next to talk about his just cooled off Cubs after their hot streak on the score.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
Drilled in the air. It's got a chance. Get out the tape measure for Ian Happ. All the way on to Waveland Avenue.
Absolutely crushed that ball.
What I love about Ian is very dedicated and serious about his craft.
Gold Glove Award winner.
And Happ makes a great catch up against the left field fence.
And that robs a home run.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
Let's take the judge. 732 slug. Seven. 732 slug. I should repeat that one more time. That's a 732 slug. That slug is, I believe, right in line or high. It's higher than league average OPS. His slug is higher than league average OPS.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has 5 fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
Yeah, I'd advise probably not looking at Aaron Judge stats because they kind of. It would make me miserable if I, because there's never, I don't get it. It's, some of that stuff just feels like he's kind of broken baseball and maybe at least some individual baseballs he's done some damage to as well. Ian Happ joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com. He's on Twitter at IHAP_1. I'm blaming the Taylor Swift candle ceremony. So walk us through this. Apparently, the first Taylor Swift candle ran out, and then there was a ceremony to transfer the mojo to a new candle before yesterday's game?
I didn't hear about that, actually.
I heard probably... it during the game. Taylor McGregor said that there was a big concern because they were marking off the wins with a Sharpie on the first Taylor Swift candle, but the magic didn't carry over to this one. Man, baseball.
We can blame Danny Mueller for that, then. He's the head of candles and counts his office, so he's got to figure that one out and get a candle that works.
Ian, what's it like that you guys went through a stretch of 10 games where you were averaging 10 runs a game? What's that like as a collective?
Yeah, I just I think for the offense as a whole, that's an exciting, you know, stretch of games. Obviously, to do it on a road trip and a long road trip, but that was pretty impressive. I think we did a really good job of getting to starters, but also adding on, continuing to add on, continuing to create space for ourselves in those games, and making it easy on the bullpen. So, you know, the one in Pittsburgh where we came back was obviously a really, really exciting game. But a lot of those games, you know, we were just kind of pulling away, pulling away, pulling away. And that's what good offenses do.
When the bottom of the order hits, it just changes everything. And it makes it feel so relentless where if you're a pitcher, you're like, all right, well, I didn't get Amaya out. I can't get Christian Bethencourt out. He's slugging 806, by the way, as a Cub. And then all of a sudden, here come the big dogs again. And it just has to be a miserable experience to be a pitcher when those guys at the bottom are driving the car.
Yeah, that's as an offense when you can put 9 competitive at-bats on a pitcher every time through the lineup. You know, it just makes it exhausting and so challenging. And that was one of the biggest things, you know, not only for that road trip, but for the last month, you know, there's just been really, really good at bats 1 through 9. You know, bottom of the order has been really hot with Dansby and Pete and the catching position. And you know, makes it easier on all of us. You know, I get a chance to hit with her in scoring position a bunch, and you know, when I get on base, then we got Bush and Saya and Belly coming up. It's a really deep lineup right now. And even last night, we had great at-bats. You know, we had chances, put up some runs, you know, in that game against some good pitching. And so, you know, look to just continue that momentum. You know, sometimes you have a game like last night that gets away from you a little bit, and you feel like you're in control of it and you lose, and it's about bouncing back and, you know, winning today and keeping the mojo rolling.
Well, the fact that you guys are still – obviously like in contention here in September is a bit of a victory, because there were times where it felt like there was the 500 hump, then you guys got over that. How would you describe the overall feeling inside the clubhouse right now with you guys playing meaningful baseball in September?
Yeah, I mean, I think for a while people were asking us about, you know, how do you get back into this? How do you approach this? And it maintains the same. You got to go one game at a time, one series at a time, and you really have to continue winning series. And that's all you can think about. So, you know, we lose last night. You know, got a chance to even the series today, and then go get it on Wednesday. So it's a lot of the same. You know, we're doing a really good job on that road trip, winning the first game of the series, and being able to be in a position to kind of be in control of it. And we've done this a lot throughout the course of the year. We'll bounce right back from a tough loss and just take it one series at a time as we kind of work through September.
You hearing anything about Justin Steele's health?
You know, I know he's been dealing with a little bit of discomfort, and he wants to be out there every single day. I know he'll get that right and be able to, you know, help us down the stretch here. I think just giving him a week off, or, you know, one start off to get his body right and get back in shape. I think, you know, he's been so good for us, and we want him at the top of his game.
Last week, Dan and I were sitting here during a break, and we were talking about Pete Armstrong, I think. And I think that's why I pulled up the war leaders for the Cubs, because I think Pete at the time was at 1.9, but there you were at 3.3, and now you're at 3.5. So for this run that you've been on and where you could end up as far as your career, what would you say has been a major factor in the success that you've had this season offensively?
You know, it's a lot of the same principles, a lot of the same things that I've, you know, always believed in. Just hit the ball hard, get in the air, and continue to have good at-bats, not be afraid to walk and work deep in counts and get on base. You know, there's a lot of things that have been good all year with some tough batted ball luck. And last week or two, the batted ball luck has been there, and you just continue to push and keep doing the same things, not getting away from your approach because of the results, and keep trusting that process. You know, I think a lot of the same things last year had really – really good at bats, really hard hit balls in the air, and some bad batted ball luck, and you keep working through it and getting yourself to a place where, you know, you're confident and trusting what you're going out there with every day. And you know, it's been a nice stretch, and just continue to believe in that process.
How intense has it felt as the schedule gets shorter? Every game kind of means more now because there's fewer of them left. And Craig Counsell's got a reputation. People refer to Craig Timber as being this being his time. And I'm just wondering, do you notice any difference in him? Is his message any different, or is it just steady as she goes?
That's one of the most impressive things about Counts. He's as steady as they come. He's the same guy every day. His demeanor doesn't change. His attitude in the clubhouse doesn't change. We were going through tough stretches. He was the same exact guy as he is during a, you know, 9-1 road trip or whatever, 8-1 road trip. So he's impressive in that way. It really, you know, permeates the clubhouse, just his ability to stay even, stay in the same place. And I think we have a lot of veteran players that, that also work in that way. You know, that, like I said, it's taking it one game, one series at a time, and being really stubborn to that, not getting ahead of yourself. You know, it's easy. We saw it last year. We were in a position where we were up with a week left to play, and things got away from us. You know, there's a lot that happens in the last month, but also in the last week and 2 weeks of baseball. So just staying as consistent with that approach of one game, one series, and kind of living in the moment and not getting ahead of yourself.
What are those, the lessons that are to be learned there from specifically from what the last 3 weeks of the season was like for you guys? Is that even a discussion that the group has, or is that for each individual?
No, I think it's for each individual. You know, I think what you learn is that there's a lot left. And I think what we learned as clubhouse is that belief that we had in our group, through July, through August, that, you know, even when things weren't looking great and we were struggling, that there's a ton of baseball left, and that we had the team and the ability to get back in the race. And so I think that kind of gave us confidence to keep going, and understanding that we have a group that's capable. And you know, there's plenty of baseball left right now. And so, you know, one tough loss in the beginning of September or something like what happened last night, you know, it's not going to derail this group. We understand that it's just getting back on the horse and going again.
Baseball always reminds you that these so many things happen in bunches. And it was really, I want to say, in some context, that was a historic offensive run that you guys were on, that no Cubs team had done that, scoring the way that you did with that kind of the prolific run production. And it always makes you crazy, because you wish there's some days where it's like the spigot turns off and you can't bank runs, you can't save runs. People sit in the press box and say, well, instead of getting 14 today, why don't you save a few of these for tomorrow? And the nature, part of it, when we say the cliches of one game at a time, these are very self-contained outcomes. Every game is so different. How far along do you get into a game when you settle and you say, oh, it's going to be one of these, or it's going to be one of these, to kind of know what you're dealing with?
Yeah, I think it can change on a dime. It's amazing the way the sport works. You know, you get one relief pitcher in there that's struggling and it can completely flip the game. Or, you know, you get to the starter and their bullpen guys come out and they're locked down. And, you know, that's the beauty of the game, and also the frustrating part. And I think the frustrating part for fans in the middle of the season, when the offense wasn't clicking, you know, was what's going on. And now, you know, you have a stretch where you score, I think it was 99 in 10 games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's it. Things will normalize. Guys will, you know, have their years in the back of the baseball card or show up. It's not always linear. It's not always perfect, but it's a really nice stretch for our offense. And, you know, it gives us a lot of confidence going into the rest of the month.
It is Tuesday, dinger dollars. You know, we got some work to do, Ian. We got to get some people some coffee and get the Cubs some wins.
Yeah, we had a really nice August of dinger dollars, and sending out quite a few to to the Home Run Club Connect roster. So hopefully we can have another really good August and get people a bunch of dinger dollars to spend moving forward.
All right, go get them and keep up this if you keep up this pace, things are going to be real good.
That's exactly right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs.
It's been fun watching the Cubs battle their way back into this thing.
Kind of.
I mean, you went through the numbers on Thursday.
They're better.
It's they're what, a 7% chance now, maybe,
I think,
for them to make the playoffs?
Before last night, they were. Let's check the playoff odds. Currently have the Cubs at 3.9%.
Oh, no. So the loss yesterday was huge as far as percentages go. As yes. Sarah Langs would say, wee!
Join 670 The Score at Rally House in Wrigleyville this Thursday, September 5th, as Matt Spiegel and Afternoon Show will be doing...
Hey, there is Matt Spiegel on Afternoon Show.
He will be doing Afternoon Show from 2 to 6 p.m. Stop in to win prizes.
Football team will be there as well.
Shop for all things game day. Visit Rally House, rallyhouse.com, to find the location nearest you. We have High Noon coming up next. I have an old story with a twist.
With a twist.
A twist.
I have a way to generate revenue that I didn't think of, and I don't know if the Bears do this, but they should. But maybe when they get their own stadium, because then they could take all of the money. I'll explain next.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
High Noon is here. We started out by setting the scene for Bears Game Week and our readiness for it, celebrating the naming of the captains that included the rookie quarterback, receiving enough votes to be named. We fretted over the Justin Steele elbow soreness, but Ian Happ doesn't seem all that concerned. He joined us, and so did Dominique Foxworth, for a fun and wide-ranging discussion.
It's High Noon.
So last week in Baltimore, last Saturday, not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before, they held fantasy football drafts. You and your league could rent out a suite at M&T Bank Stadium. They sold all, I think, 128 suites.
How much?
It was like $75 a person or something like that.
Oh, that's great. Did they cater it for you and everything?
Yeah. So
that's great.
There's food and drink. It's a four-hour window, so you got noon to four. And then each one of the suites got a tour of the stadium.
That's brilliant.
It's totally, like, brilliant. I was like, what?
Brilliant.
So, and the place is not being used. It's a week when it's not being used because the preseason is over. And I think they made like $150,000 with this. And I'm sitting there going, wait, do the Bears even offer something like this? And then I was going, oh, they would have to go. They probably couldn't, because if they were going to do it, they'd have to do it during a weekday. And then this year there were all sorts of concerts and stuff, so scheduling it would be difficult. But it struck me as another one of those things that if you're Kevin Warren, you go, oh, yeah, we could do that if we were in charge of the schedule of the place that we play at.
You can do whatever you want. It's your playpen.
But looking at this and going, how? I don't know who came up with this idea, but whoever did at the Ravens, that's top notch, because you give fantasy football players... There might be a bunch of people that can't even afford season tickets. You're giving them season ticket-like access to the stadium, even though no game is being played.
For their league, and you get the whole football milieu. It's great.
And like, it's not going to be crazy parking, and you get to go in the locker room and all of this stuff for $75 a person. Genius. Bears? build your own stadium in Arlington Heights and do something like this.
Kevin!
Wait, we're done?
No. We have seen this story happen here locally. You know that in Long Grove, there is that covered bridge.
Yes.
That is constantly being smashed.
I like to call it the Dan Jiggetts Bridge.
There's constantly trucks, vehicles that are too tall for the covered bridge.
I saw a truck on where we come up Randolph last week.
Stuck?
Got stuck. And I'm like, how'd you not know?
That's usually what happens. Now, in the state of Maine, they have hundreds of covered bridges, old-fashioned wooden covered bridges, like the Beetlejuice bridge. And almost always, the clearance issue is height. Not in this case. The pictures are not to be believed. You should always look at the height limit of a bridge. You know what else you should look at? It's also really important when it's over a river. The weight limit. The weight limit. Because a driver decided to cross this bridge. It's called Babb's Bridge in Gorham, Maine. It has the oldest history of the state's remaining covered bridges. It dates back to 1840. The wooden bridge has a weight limit of 3 tons. The driver behind the wheel of a Ford F-750 thought he could make it. But a Ford F-750 is over 9,000 pounds empty. And depending on what was in the bed, it can weigh between 26,000 and 37,000 pounds.
Uh-oh!
What was the driver in this case hauling? Crushed gravel.
Oh, no.
The picture is hilarious because it is like a car-shaped hole. And it's immediately when the back wheels got on the bridge. It's not like this thing creaked and rolled. It just like, da-da-da-da-da, boom, straight down into the river. The driver suffered minor injuries, but was able to exit the vehicle on his own. It says, luckily no one else was hurt, considering the area is popular with swimmers and kayakers. Oh. That would have been really bad. But the... It was so heavy that I thought, oh, maybe it took some time and it finally gave out. That bridge was like, nope, bang. Perfect Wile E. Coyote roadrunner.
Oh, man.
Right through, boom, splash.
Like, that's not good.
And they showed the signs, the unmissable, unmistakable signs.
The unmitigated goal.
That show you and say, do not drive on this bridge if you weigh more. Like, even empty, even if it weren't hauling a full bed load of crushed gravel, something would have happened that was probably bad because even empty. But with the crushed gravel, not even close.
Wow. That is,
and the truck company has the owner of the truck company is offering to help pay for the rebuild.
Well, yeah, I think that would probably be appropriate. That is High Noon. We do it every day around this time. When we come back, we thought it would be a good idea to whiteboard what we have planned for you as bear season goes on. So you should stick around for that. It's next here on The Score.
Bears.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.